Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, Checking Our Spiritual Vital Signs. Thank you to Paul, Don, and Mike for being involved in the video. The scripture reading for this week's message is Matthew 13, 1-9. Paul will read it as part of the welcome.
Good morning. I welcome everyone today, Beamsville Church of Christ service, with the warmth and the love of Christ himself, the Son of the Most High God. Today, I hope that we can all experience some of that amazing God in our lives and that we would all be great examples for him today. A couple announcements. Happy birthday, Miriam. Thank you, Murray. Actually, I was noticing this as I was walking in this morning. The flowers and the flower beds are awesome. Thank you very much, Murray. Our reading this morning is Matthew 13, 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got up into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear.
Very grateful to have you with us today, and for those of you who are watching by a variety of ways, we welcome you. The Bible really isn't known as a book of comedy or humor in it, but there's certain scenes in Scripture that, in my mind, make me smile. Jesus was telling parables, and he continually told parables. And the disciples are getting exasperated, I think. I sometimes think that when Jesus begins another parable, I just see John nudging Peter and rolling their eyes. Okay, another story. They may have got exasperated. And so they asked Jesus, why do you always speak in parables? And Jesus responds by telling them a parable. Parables are stories that really help us in many ways. Children, we remember, love hearing stories. And I guess I'm still a child because I love reading stories and hearing stories. And I love it when people who've lived a long life tell us their stories. And in the scriptures, we have this marvelous opportunity to listen to people's life stories. Now, we don't get it all. Jesus lived some 30-something years on earth, and we don't get every day of his life. But we get glimpses of people's lives. And sometimes they're good days, and sometimes they're bad days. But they are vital signs in people's lives. Vital signs are important for us physically. Body temperature, pulse rate, rate of breathing, blood pressure, all of those vital signs are important. And when they get off track, it kind of messes things up. And if all this sounds confusing, I'll just tell you a story about one of our daughters. A number of years ago, she was suffering from really terrible abdominal pain. And she went from one doctor to a specialist to another specialist to another specialist. And one said this and one said that. They checked temperature, pulse rate, rate of breathing, blood pressure. They thought this, they thought that. I can't tell you how many medications she was prescribed. Nothing worked. And I remember, and it still chokes me up, watching her laying on the floor, curled up in pain, even with all the meds that they were giving her. And there was just nothing we could do about it. We tried and tried and tried. There was nothing we could do about it. And then one day, I think God willed it so, we were chatting with a doctor who wasn't one of our doctors and wasn't the doctor that we had ever really chatted with previously. We didn't know this person. And we just happened to mention to what was happening with our daughter. And without batting an eye, she goes, "I know exactly what that is. I know exactly what that is. It's a gallbladder. Has anyone ever checked her gallbladder? Her gallbladder needs to be taken out. That's exactly what it is. How would, by all these things, how in the world wouldn't a doctor know that? That's exactly what it is." Well, we were blown away because all the doctors and specialists that we had gone to, they thought maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that. So we tried it all. And so this doctor was completely confident. 2 weeks after her surgery, our daughter was a brand new person. Brand new. Vital signs are important. And I got reading many of the parables of Jesus, and many of the parables are asking us to check our spiritual vital signs. We love reading stories, we love reading the parables, but they are often a reason for exactly that. Prayer, vital signs spiritually, prayer, communion, contemplation, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. But one of the parables that is told very, very often is the parable of the sower. And in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 46, it says this, kind of setting up where we're going. While Jesus was talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, and this is kind of strange, "Who is my mother and brothers? Who is my mother and my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here they are. Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." See, it was getting to the point in the family of Jesus that they really weren't sure that he was the Son of God. I guess they had a mindset. If you really are the Son of God, I don't think you'd be saying what you're saying. I don't think you'd be doing what you're doing. If you really are the Son of God, then you've come to set Jerusalem free. You've come to rule the world, was their thought. And that wasn't Jesus' thought at all. And it's interesting how the disciples heard Jesus telling story after story after story after story. And I think it's funny. But they asked Jesus, "Why are you always telling parables?" And Jesus answers by telling them a parable. The rolling of the eyes. So let me read to you this very, very familiar parable found in Matthew chapter 13. And it gives you the story behind it all. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake, and such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. And all the people stood on the shore and told them many things in parables." So we're not getting the whole thing. He's telling them many things in parables. So Matthew's just giving us a little bit. "Saying, a farmer went out to sow a seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up and the plants were scorched, they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." And then Jesus says, And I see him with a smile when he says this. He who has ears, let him hear. And then the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak in parables? And he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to all. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from. This is why I speak in parables. And I think that one of the things he's saying is, if you want to stay healthy spiritually, be involved in spiritually healthy situations, whether it be prayer, contemplation, communion, reading of scripture, going out into the world and sowing good seed, being a friend to people, living by the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, and there may be others. And every once in a while, it's a pretty good idea to just take out a piece of paper, a pen or a pencil, and write them down. Love, joy, peace, patience, kind, just write them all down. And then just sort of stand back a little bit and ask yourself, examining ourselves, how have I shown love recently? How have I expressed joy? Who have I brought peace to recently? Kindness and gentleness and tenderness and so forth. All of those things seem unique to what the world has always needed and still needs today, my particular opinion. But even though there isn't humor in the Bible, I just think it's funny that every once in a while, as the disciples are following Jesus, he'll say something and it's just like, oh, brother, let's get to the point. Let's get to really what's important. Let's just rule this world. And the real, as we all know, ruling of the world, as Jesus said, are those who are the servants, those who care for others, those who come alongside others. It's truly unique. So looking at a couple of scriptures that I think is interesting, in Mark chapter 3, verse 20, it says, then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. And when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said about Jesus, listen to what they said, he is nuts. He's out of his mind, is what the scripture says. He's scary. Here is the one who is God incarnate. But they were expecting something else. And so it was very difficult for them to grasp what's happening. And so also there are scriptures that I think are unique in John chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. It says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea, because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, you ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world, for even his own brothers did not believe him. Now, you know, sometimes we have squabbles in the family, but I don't know that any of us have had such a squabble that we would say, you know what, I think if you go over there, you might do better. And all the while knowing that if you go over there, you're a dead man. You're a dead man. This is what it was like. And we don't really talk about this. Jesus was on his mission, and yet he had a family, physical family, brothers, sisters. The Bible talks about this. And they really wrestled with who he was. I suspect that they believed that Jesus was going to set up a kingdom right here on earth, and we're going to be part of it all. Well, he was. He was setting up a kingdom on earth. It was a kingdom of love and joy and peace and patience. And they were waiting for all of these things to be very much a physical thing. And yet Jesus lived his life preaching and living what he was preaching. So in John chapter 7, it talks about this. And then all throughout the scripture, the people are asking, who is this Christ? Verse 25 of John 7. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? So can you picture this? Here you have Jesus, who's come to demonstrate who God is and to demonstrate how to live in this world. His own family has turned against him. And at some point, some of the people in Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they're trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to them. So all throughout his ministry, Jesus was very much a lonely person. There's one scripture that stays with me. John 1, I believe it's verse 11. Jesus went to his own, because there was no other place to go. Jesus went to his own because no one would receive him. The one who spoke existence into being had no place to go. It's remarkable. So how important is it to demonstrate a life of communion? How important is it to demonstrate a life of some spiritual knowledge? How important is it to spend time in contemplation, really deep conversation with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? In many ways, when we take communion, that's what we're doing. Not just remembering Christ's life, death, and resurrection, but the fact that we are part of him and he is part of us. He knew us even before we were born. And this Jesus, and John says, he went to his own, and no one would receive him. And so we gather every Sunday to receive him, to commune, to experience our vital signs, love and joy and peace and patience, and that we gather together as his people. And then lastly, again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. And when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches and the birds of the air can perch on its shade. And with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to him, which says to me that one day we will know exactly everything that Jesus wants us to know. So I'm not sure where we're all at spiritually. I remember very vividly the frustration, the exasperation, the tears of seeing your daughter in agony, and nothing, you couldn't do anything for her. Such pain. Doctors really couldn't do anything for them. And then one day, weren't we lucky? I don't believe in luck. One day, God allowed a doctor who just happened to come by and tell us, I know what she needs. And within several weeks, she was a brand new person. See, that's the story of Jesus. No matter who you are, who we are, who each one of us is, wherever we're at, Jesus can say what that doctor said. I know exactly what you need. And it's Christ himself. May you have a blessed week this week. And whenever you can, may you help someone who is lonely and in pain. Amen.
Good morning. There's a thousand things I could say, so cuddle up, grab a pillow, but I actually won't do that. But one thing that I've learned through the process of being blind for a short time and then seeing again is that I know what it really means to, and I know there are several others that in this congregation right now, brothers and sisters and others, loved ones that are going through dark days. We don't really know how dark it can get, but that darkness to that person, it might be a total different darkness to you or to a person that hasn't gone through it. I now know. I spent my 57th birthday blind. Couldn't celebrate it, didn't want to celebrate it, couldn't see anything. During that time, I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lament. And some of the time, the human instinct kicked back in and was like, why God, why me? I've been good, you know, like I've been faithful. I knew deep down inside it wasn't anything to do with God, and he had nothing to do with it in terms of, but you know, he's putting you on a journey. You don't like the direction it's going in. But you know, when you get there, things are going to be all right. God was faithful when I was not faithful. And when I say that, I didn't say I lost my faith. I was in total despair. And I said, I stopped praying. I stopped eating. And when it was 3 days before the operation, I was blind. And I was like, I'm so upset and worried about my future. And I felt like Job because I had my family and friends saying, you know, it's going to be all right. But they didn't like have the faith that you guys have in God. They just said, there's things out there that will help you, guide you through your life, you know, remote control things and devices, and you'll be able to function. And I didn't want to hear that. I said, I don't plan on that. That's not what I'm looking forward to. So it's a really hard time, and I know what it means to go through darkness. What we don't read in the Gospels, all we get a glimpse of it, and we know that obviously the Passion of Christ was his darkest moment, but it was his most victorious moment because he died for you and me. And I remember an old song, and everyone will nod, that's been singing it for 50-something years, Kneel at the Cross. Remember? Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Well, you know, that. Why do we go to the cross every Sunday? By faith, because we know that he's going to lift our burdens. He took the burden of sin away. He made things a brighter future. He took away the darkness. He is the true light of the world. There's a lot of directions you can go in. But, you know, that's why God gave us the church, because when I couldn't or didn't have the strength to pray anymore, you guys did. Other people did. And I learned a lot about my faith. I learned a lot about Jesus and his dark days. I suppose he had a lot of dark days that the gospel writers did not include in there, because that wasn't their focus. But there are snippets where Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty dark night. You know, he was hungry. He went 40 days in the desert without food and was tempted beyond belief. That was a pretty dark period. So I've learned a lot about, you know, I've come through, you know, why I didn't know this before. I didn't know it, but my human instinct kept in. But one thing that we can always depend on is the cross, Jesus being at the cross by faith. By faith, he resurrected. But when we have dark days, we can come together like we're coming now and share in communion and lift each other up, just as Christ lifted us up. So with that in mind, we'll partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine, and then thank God for all he's done for us. Dear Heavenly Father, you are faithful when at times in our lives we found it hard to be faithful, but you knew our hearts. Father, we struggle in our life, and we know there are many people going through dark days, you know, in our congregation and other congregations and across the world and other countries. And Father, we pray that we may not lose faith, that we look to you and meet you at the cross and realize that you're hung there for us so that we didn't have to, and that you bore our burdens and you set us free. Help us to truly love each other and to be thankful to you and love you the best way we know how and should, for the sacrifice of your body and blood for our sins. For that we're eternally grateful. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Mike. As we close this morning, today, just a reminder, by the way, Adam sends out a weekly email bulletin that has all the announcements as well as prayer lists. So if that's something that you don't get and would like to, get a hold of Adam. Today, as we close, want to quote a scripture, short scripture, that I find shocking. It's continually shocking to me over and over again. It's from 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. May you take that blessing with you today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for all you've given us and all you've blessed us with. Thank you for our service today. Thank you for the message we heard. Thank you for the participation in your table. Lord, be with us as we go into the world, as we try to live like a people who have checked our spiritual vital signs and who have remembered your Son around the table. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to be faithful to your mission. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.